My flesh will definitely fail, but he never will. What a powerful song. And it's marvelous how it goes right along with our message today. My title of my message this morning, God's Revelation, Our Response. So as we turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 10, it's where we'll be. I'm excited to see you folks here. Lovely faces. Just a wonderful time that we can spend together as the body of Christ. I will be glad whenever we come back together as a whole body. I'm thankful for those that are watching at home. I'm grateful for those that are here. May God join us together as one body as we worship Him this morning in spirit and in truth. Everybody got your Bible? Let's stand up. Take those Bibles, make sure you got them in your hand. Take that sword and shake it in the devil's face. All right? Tell him that thus saith the word of the Lord. Mark 10, verse 17. I'm going to read quite a few verses. And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was saddened at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" The disciples were astonished at his words, but answered again and saith unto him, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mother and children and lands with precautions. And in the world to come, persecutions. In the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for this scripture. We know that it's here for a great purpose. And that purpose, Lord, is for us to respond to Christ. I pray this morning, Lord, as we read this scripture, it sounds as though it's out of reach for us. When we've done all that we can do, Lord, there's still something that is missing. Just as this young man, Lord, who said he had kept those commandments all of his life, but there was something that was holding him back from giving his all. Lord, there's many of us that are being held back right now, not from this world, not from what's going on around us, but from our own hearts. I pray this morning, Lord, we'd have deliverance. May we respond to you as your children with faith in you, knowing that you are in control. And Lord, I pray this morning you'd open our hearts There are those that's here this morning that needs a touch of the Master's hand. Those that are hurting, those whose life now is uncertain because of a number of things, especially because of the pandemic. I pray, Lord, for freedom as we walk in Christ, that you would be glorified. I pray for an anointing this morning, Lord. I'm unable to stand here and preach this message unless you intervene, you speak through me. I know that you gave me the things that you would have me to say this morning, and I've pinned them down. I pray, Lord, that you would help me deliver this message under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And may it go directly to our hearts, whatever the need is, whether it's for life everlasting, whether it's from whatever it might be, maybe our families, maybe our jobs, maybe some sickness that is going on within our families. Lord, I pray that you would intervene. For with man it is impossible, but with God nothing is impossible. Do your will. Call us to life, to service, in love. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We've been talking about God. That's really what this series is on. And we're going to jump into the commandments at a little ways down the road here. But right now we're looking at some things about God. Who is God? How does he work? What does he do? How do we even know that he's there? Our first message was, does God really exist? Now, we've talked several things about God. Now, this morning, we want to focus on some things. Since he has showed us some things about himself, we've noticed his attributes. He told Moses who he was, demonstrated to him, and just let him know what kind of a God he was, so that Moses might be able to identify him to his people. And this morning, that's exactly what he wants to do, is he wants to identify himself to us. Now, we might know him, and we might have been born of him. But the answer to this question that I want to ask is, are we responding to him? Is our lives really in a response to God, or are we responding to ourselves? It just amazes me here. This scripture says, it's easier for a rich man. I'm going to put it like this. It's easier for any man who is dependent on anything other than Christ. It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. If we are responding to God from our desires instead of his purpose for our lives, the question has to be, how is God able to use me? Now, I've heard preachers talk about this eye of the needle being a doorway into the city of Jerusalem, and they called it the needle gate. And if they took all the things that were on the camel's back, and he got on his knees, he could crawl through that. There was no such gate as the needle gate. God was saying, listen, it would be easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who is dependent on this world to get them through. And man, it is impossible. That's what the well, who in the world is going to be saved? Who can possibly be saved if it's that hard? And they said, with man it's impossible. But with God it's not. God's purpose in our life. He's revealed himself to us. Now we've got to respond. What kind of response are we getting? I think we see a lot of things happening, and it worries me. It puts heaviness on my heart to think that such things that are happening today is driving the ministries at bay. So what do? We have to respond to God in some way that God desires for us to respond. And he has said to us that he is a long-suffering God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. But he's a God who is worthy of the praise and service of his people. He is a God this morning who is able to do all things, and nothing is impossible. Yes, even our salvation, which we are unable to earn, it is absolutely secured in Him and nowhere else. It's not dependent upon our own works, our own desires, our own will. It is by the will of God that we're His. That's what it says, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. So this morning, there's some things we really need to look at in our life to make sure that we are doing what God would have us to do. God knows what kind of answer we're going to have. See, He knows the ending as well as He knows the beginning. And so whatever's going on in our life, God knows where it starts, God knows where it is, and God knows everything in between. It's us that has the issue. It's us that has the issue. If we could just learn to trust Him, if we could just learn to really lean on Him, if we could really learn to focus our lives on Him and Him alone, I'm telling you, our lives would be better. Amen? There's nothing that is as enriching as having the Spirit of God and your spirit dwelling together and having communion one with another. And we don't have to be in here to do it. But oh, what power it brings when we come together as a body of believers. And this one's spirit, and that one's spirit, and that one's spirit, and that one. And we meet together in one unit, one purpose, one body. And there we are honoring Christ. We need to respond to God in a way that He's worthy of. Let me ask you this. Have we responded this week the way God wants us to respond? Are we? Have we? Will we? That's a good question, isn't it? But I want us to know that God has revealed Himself. The Bible says in Ezekiel 18:23, have I any pleasure at all in the wicked should die? And not that he should return from his ways and live? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. God wants us to live. God wants us to enjoy life. God wants this life to be enriching to us. God wants us to answer His revelation of Himself. How do we do that? What is the purpose of that? Well, we have to respond to Him in a unique way. But we have to know Him to respond. We have to trust Him to respond. We talked about last week. He revealed Himself to Moses. Remember? He went by Moses and showed himself. And he said, I can almost hear this voice. I am a merciful God. That's the Damon Lee version of the voice of God. That pretty good? That's pretty good, I guess. That's the best I can do, all right? But he showed him who he was. And now what he wants us to do is to respond to him in worship. Worship should be the first thing we do when we recognize who God is. I don't understand this. And believe me, I've missed this mark many a time. To think about the greatness and the majesty and the power and the glory and the honor of God. To think about all that and not be driven to worship. And He has revealed Himself just naturally to us. Look around you. Everything in here, everyone in here is a miracle of God. Everyone in here, God has gave His Son for us. And when we realize who He is and how much He loves us, I'm telling you, we should respond to Him by worship. What kind of worship? Well, it's unique. We worship God in His essential being. He is spirit. So we worship Him in spirit. Jesus told the lady, hey, God is looking, the Father is looking for someone that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, the truth of who He is. We don't make up things about God. We worship Him because He is a long-suffering, gracious, caring, loving God. Because He has demonstrated His love to us on Calvary's cross. That's why we worship Him. Not because of what we can get out of Him. Oh, He's working and He's blessing us every day. And He's given more to us than what we can ever give Him back. But to worship Him, it means that we've got to do something. We've got to do something that's going to change our scope of who we are. That word worship is the old Anglo-Saxon word. And it's a word that means simply to show that God is worth something. That there's a value to Him. That's what that word worship means. There's value. And because there's value there, He's worthy of our worship. Well, we don't worship Him through ritual. He's not in the smoke. He's not in the mirrors. He's not in the things that we do physically. He is in our essential submission, surrender, and faith that He is holy, perfect, righteous, loving God. And that drives us to our knees. Matter of fact, we don't do a whole lot of worship anymore. The old folks back used to worship. And you know, guys know me, I'm not for this crazy stuff. I'm not for this made-up stuff. But I am for worshiping God. Whether it's in a uplifting of our hands, a hallelujah praise, whether look, that word literally means to be prostrate before God. Lay out before Him. Because what we're doing when we do that, we're showing that we see His worthiness is much greater than our worth. And when I get down as low as I can get, I'm saying, God, You're much higher than me. I'm a nothing. Thank You for remembering me. And from our heart, we just pour out ourselves to Him in love and adoration to Him. Not in what we do. Not in the way that we worship. Not in the series of songs that we sing. Oh, there's worship in song. Worship should be joyful. Did you know there was times in the Jewish worship that they looked and acted like a bunch of carnival people, if you would? They would march, and they would wave their banners, and they would laugh, and they would sing, and they would jump, and they would hop. David was in the street jumping up and down, singing praises to God. Worship. But not because I can swing a flag, or not because I can sing a song, not because I got a beautiful voice, not because I'm able to do this or that. It's because I realize that I am worthless and God is worth everything. Now that's when we get down to the business of worshiping. Because there is no other name that is given whereby we must be saved. But at that wonderful name of Jesus, the wonderful Son of God, God incarnate, He's the one. When I stand before Him, that's why we're going to stand before Him and lay our crowns at His feet. We're going to say, Lord, I'm not worthy of this. You're the one who done this. You have done this, and You use this old pitiful example of a tool, but you done it. He's the only one. And besides him, there is no other Savior. No matter what we think, no matter what we do, no matter what anyone says, and we must respond to him in love. This is not a thing that we do from habit. I remember hearing people say, and it just drives me crazy. Please, I'm an old-fashioned type cornfield preacher here. I can remember standing on the, and I was a young Christian at that time, and I remember standing on the front porch of the church, and a gentleman in there standing with us, and he was one of the deacons, and he said, come on in, let's go and get this mess over with so we can go on home. I had no sense. I said, why don't you just go home now? You're going to mess up our worship. I didn't know you weren't supposed to say that at church. So I said it anyway. When we come here, that should be our focus. And we shouldn't worry what sister so-and-so's wearing. Now, I think we should cover ourselves up and be proper. But they ain't got to be the best dressed in town. Have the fanciest clothes and the most expensive jewelry. All I want them to have is a love for God so that their spirit and my spirit can join together. And that man, a man of God, loving God and leading his family, showing his family how to worship, showing his family how to serve God, being faithful in every aspect of it. Oh, this world drives us crazy. And we let this world overtake us. I'm telling you, this world is a world that's dying. We're living. This world's going to pass away, but his people will not. We will overcome because he's overcome. So there's a time we got to respond to him in love. And he said, he was asked, how do you, Lord, what is the great commandment? What do we need to do? How do we do this? Love is not something that we respond to because it's given us, but we do have a benefit here. God has showed us how to love. He showed us how to love. He said, you got to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. All your heart. You know what that means? That means all your heart. Everything that is within you, every part, every molecule, every sinew, every vein in your, that you are in love with God. And your heart is in tune, and he holds your heart, he holds your love. He holds your desires in life. You got to love him with all our soul. That's everything that we are mentally. It's where we come together as a being. It's what he's redeeming. And in that portion, we have to come and give him all of our strength. All of our devotion. We can have no other God before him. It's just him and him alone. God's love is powerful. But our love for God should be the most exceeding, excellent thing that we have to give to him. We should love him no matter what. And we need to worship him. We need to respond to him because he showed himself, not only as a loving God, but a God of fire and judgment. Oh yeah, God loves us. And people say, well, you know, why would a God that's so loving send someone to hell? Well, he don't send anybody to hell. Not a single person does God send to hell. Matter of fact, the Bible says that it's not his will that any should perish. So he don't send people to hell. Matter of fact, hell wasn't even made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. And man has become so separated from God that they are following after their father in the long head fall into hell. But we are to worship him with fear. With fear. Why should you fear God? Well, guess what? Fear has more meanings than just a trembling shake. Oh, we should be afraid not to be obedient to him because he has the final say. He's the one who makes that decision on what I need and when he'll give it to me. I have to have some kind of respect for God. That word fear means to honor him. Yes, it does mean to have some kind of fear of a someone who is superior to us. Like, anybody ever had a boss man that was just, you were almost afraid to blink your eyes. You know what I mean? If you blinked your eyes, my gracious alive, they were on you. Darlene's not like that, is she? Okay, good. But anyway, you know, I've seen bosses like that. That man, you were almost afraid to even tell him you were still living. That's not the kind of fear we have for God. Although the fear of his awesomeness will make us tremble. But we are to fear him in absolute respect. It don't mean that we are to be afraid of him. It means that I want my life to have communion with him, but I know his holiness. I know how righteous he is because, guess what? We have learned a little bit about him. We know who he is. And I want him to strengthen me that I might worship him. Job said the fear of God was like this. The fear of God, let me tell you what it does. The fear of God will drive away evil. Did you know that? I don't know about you guys. I remember I got a rod of correction, let me put it that way. And it was a fearsome one. And what last words was spoken to me was this. If you don't stop what you're doing, this is just a taste of what you're going to get. And I thought to myself, if that's the taste, I don't want the whole meal. And I say that like this. I say that because after that, you can believe one thing, somebody began to straighten some stuff out. That's how we should fear God in his holiness. I don't want to come to him with sin in my life. If I come to him with sin, I want to come with him in repentance. I want to come to him seeking forgiveness. And not because we think it'll turn away the wrath, because of our love for him. And I'm responding to the love that he has for me. And I don't want to come to him with junk. I want to come to him with a clean heart. Job said that a man behold the fear of the Lord, what is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We should desire to be like him more than anything else. Then we need to respond to him in a unique way here. I think they call it obedience. That is a hard thing for even a Christian to do. We get so caught up on ourselves, so caught up on our own desires, so caught up on our will that we get to the place where we do not want to obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And us keeping his commandments, listen to me, It shows him that we love him, and it shows other Christians that we love him. It's important that we are obedient unto God. There's a song we used to sing. I think we sung it here some over these 30 years. I know when I was young, they sung it. It was written as a song of instruction. It's written by John Samus. Here's the words. When I walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let me tell you something. That's an old doctrine song right there. That's a good one, right? That's right, that's a good one. I love them old doctrinal songs that tells the truth of who He is. Talks about the blood. Talks about His gift of salvation. Talks about the old rugged cross. When we take them out, we've taken out a path. And we get it where man just thinks, if I just do... Did you know they say that over 60% of believers now who say they're born-again believers believes that there's something they have to do other than Jesus to get to heaven. Something else. I've got to add this. It can't just be Him. Well, the truth is this, all we have to do is hear Him and obey Him. God is holy. He's sovereign. You know what sovereign means? That means the buck stops with Him. He is a sovereign God. Listen to me. He is still on the throne. Nobody's upseated Him, and nobody ever will. He sits on the throne where He rules and reigns in honor and glory, and the cherubims and the seraphims are on their face praising Him, and they're flying around His altar saying, holy, 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 holy. Yes, He is worthy to obey. And out of that worthiness, let me tell you what, we have fellowship. We have a newness. We have a renewal. Whenever we obey, when we just trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let me tell you what, the most miserable place a Christian can be is about this far right here out of the will of God. And here's something else about the will of God. The will of God does not excuse sickness that comes in our life. Challenges that comes in our life. It does not mean that we're going to walk on a bed of roses. What it does mean is this. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. We are humans created in the image of God. And because of sin, we have been separated from every one of us is the same. Every one of us is the same. You're just like the preacher. The preacher's just like you. We're no different. The only difference that we have is this. Our names are different. That's the only difference that we have. Everything else is just like everybody else in this world. We are subject to the things of this world. Yes, sometimes we don't do the right things. Sometimes we have to suffer things. That's why there is sickness. That's why there's death. Listen, until Christ comes back, and these bodies right here are changed from this mortality to immortality, man will get sick and man will die. But praise God, those who are His never die. Older bodies surrender, but praise God, that man that's been born of Him, who loves Him and desires Him, will live eternally with Him. Obedience to Him. It's all through the Scripture. All through the Bible. It never says do it your way. What's that song? Who was that sung that song? Was it Elvis? I Did It My Way? Well, guess what? I think, was that who it was? I don't know. Long time ago, that's right. Y'all do know who Elvis was, didn't you? Y'all not too young to remember Elvis, are you? All right, okay. I Did It My Way. Well, guess what? He didn't. He did it his way, and guess what? It was the wrong way. Every one of us, if we do it our way, it's the wrong way. I ain't picking on no Elvis, because I did like to see old Elvis in the movies, and I like this old song pretty good. The old Hound Dog and what have you, you know? Jailhouse Rock and things like that. But obedience is knowing that God knows what is best. And the way he wants me to walk and the way he leads me, although I may not understand it, the ultimate purpose in this is to make my life more like him. I believe that. Then, respond in service. Here's where us Baptists get messed up at. Service. Well, guess what? There's a lot of things that we can do as individuals. Responding to God. Listen, God does not call us to life for nothing. And if he called us to life just to save us, then he does. But if that was the only reason he called us, when we got saved, he would snatch us out of here. He leaves us here for a purpose. And he does something really strange. I don't understand this. He gives to everyone who is a believer, every person who believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross, came from him, paid the penalty of our sins, and rose from the dead. If they believe that, he has given them life. Because the Bible says they cannot say that Jesus is Lord unless the Spirit. So, when he gives us the Holy Spirit, he gives us a job. Churches are suffering today because the people are not doing their jobs. Jobs are spiritual gifts that he's given us not for us to show off with, but for us to bless the church with. That means if you're not doing your gift, guess what? The whole church is missing something. God has called his people to serve, and serve in a lot of different capacities. Listen to me. From the trash to the trash cans. Anything from that side over there by the woods to that side, everything that goes on here, he's called us all to do. Now, he's give others, some people, particular gifts that they enhance. But he's given some of us gifts that are gifts in the shadows. But believe me, unless those people are not doing, if those people are doing those things that are hidden in the shadows, those shadow gifts I call them, the rest of people can't do anything either. There is no big I and little me's in the church. The only big I is Jesus. The rest of us is just his children. We are the bride of Christ. That's it. And we need to respond to him in service. We need to serve him in every aspect of our life. If he's given us the ability to teach, we should teach. If he's given us the ability to preach, we should preach. If he's given us the gift of interpretation, we need to do that. But listen, we need to do it according to God's word. According to his word. Not according to man's thinking, but according to the word of God. Maybe you have a gift of hospitality. I know Fred, that was the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. Fred and Karen saying they didn't have the gift of hospitality. No wonder they shaved his head. And the thing about it is that we can only serve one. We can't serve ourselves and serve God too. We can only serve one, because we will either love the one and hate the other. And most of the time, we are hating him. That's sadness. That's badness. I shouldn't have said that. Why did he put that on my mind right then to say that? If he's not first, in our service. God holds us in his hand. And there's things he's commanded us to do. And that is to edify the church. Guys, we need to begin to edify the church. We need to support the church in every aspect, in the mission work, in the giving. Listen, a church cannot survive without the giving. If we're not giving to the Lord, bringing the tithe into the storehouse, and the storehouse has nothing, we ain't doing God's will. Because it has to be done. We have to be willing to go. We have to be willing to serve. We have to be willing to be the low man on the totem pole, if you will. Whatever God wants me to do, we have to say that's what I'm willing to do. Because God has called us to serve him. And we don't serve him because we're going to get... Although he did tell those disciples a while ago, listen, if anybody that leaves, father, mother, sister, brother, house, anything, and follows me, and follows me, there's not a single one of them that won't get rewarded both now in this life and in the life to come. So listen, whatever we do, and we're doing it for him, he will bless us. He will bless us in everything. Obedience of service happens at worship time, whenever we are encouraging one another. I tell you, a church should not come together and people leave and not be encouraged. We should be encouragers one to another. We should be lovers of one another. If we are to respond to God, since he responds to us in love, whenever we are not worthy, and while we were yet sinners, he showed us how much he loved us on Calvary's. Guess what? He deserves to be praised. So in conclusion, let me ask you this. How have you responded to God this week? What can you point at and say, well, I responded to God in this way? See, we need to begin to check ourselves. I know when somebody's been in rehab, they give you a list. And they say, each day you check that list. Have I done this? Have I done that? Have I done that? Have I done that? And you check that off. This is a checkoff list for those who name the name of Jesus. Let's ask ourselves, do I truly worship God? Do I really do that from my heart? When I come in together with my brothers and sisters, is my heart ready to worship him? And do I love God? Do I love him more than anything else? Do I love others? You know, he tells us to love others. Not just ourselves, not just our families, not just our friends, but even those who spitefully use us. Now, that's a hard job. You have a healthy fear of God? Do you respect God? Do you honor God? Here's a hard one. Do you keep his commandments? Well, I guarantee you this. Every one of us in here, from the pulpit to the back to the side, we all have an area right here we can improve in. Because there is none of us who is perfect. But because we're not perfect is no reason not to strive for perfection. We should do everything we can to live right before the Lord. Everything. And we should think in our mind, is what I'm doing, is it harming someone else? So, God's revealed himself. Have you responded to that? This morning, the altar's going to be opened. We want you to come to the altar and pray. This morning, If there's some issue, and if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you come. Someone will get with you, and they will show you what the Bible says about trusting him. This morning, if you're here, and you need some place to identify with and say, that's my home, that's where I want God to use me at. This right here is where I want to be a part of the body of Christ. The doors will be open. Let's pray. Father,